Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents My Best Friend and My Odd Side Job by Jesse Kell. Narrated by Annalise McCoy. Chapter 1. Faye avoided looking at the clock as she rushed out of her bedroom, half-dressed, with only her thick, curly brown hair ready to go. As she brushed her teeth with one hand, she frantically looked for an outfit to wear. It didn't help that her entire wardrobe was scattered over the apartment. If only she had the time to hang it back up, she wouldn't have to go on a goose chase every morning. But she couldn't deny that her mess was also her source of inspiration. If her jeans hadn't been sticking out from under her summer dress last month, she would have never thought to turn that dress into a sexy blouse, and sew the rest of the fabric onto the hem of her jeans. Her unique designs would one day make her big break. She was sure of it. When Brita smoothed against her leg, Faye realized she'd forgotten to put out her cat food the night before. Oh, goodness. Chancing a quick glance at her watch made her cringe. She was going to be late. Once her electric toothbrush vibrated a third time, she spit in the kitchen sink, then opened her mouth under the faucet. But no water came out. Brita jumped up on the counter and meowed for the thousandth time. Are you kidding me? Faye turned the lever in all directions, but nothing. She glanced over at the pile of unopened mail on top of the dining room table and wondered if she'd missed another of maintenance's notes about shutting the water off. Why couldn't they just send it through email? Leaving the toothbrush on the counter, she slipped into a turquoise cocktail dress that was on top of the sofa before reaching for her makeup bag. As soon as she opened the door, Brita bolted into the apartment next door. Ralph's door was half opened. He was home and had been up for hours. It was impossible to tune out the sound of his makeshift wood shop. Every time he cut a piece of wood, her walls would violently shake. If there were earthquakes in New York City, she would constantly live on the verge of panic because of her best friend's annoying hobby. "I need to use your bathroom," Faye announced over the piercing noise of the power saw and rushed into the guest bath without waiting for a response. "What was that?" Ralph asked, shutting off the machine. "They shut the water off on my apartment and I'm running late," she explained as she washed her face.
"Just clean up the sink when you're done," he called out a little louder than he had to. Perhaps he still had earplugs in.
"I always clean up after myself." She hadn't bothered to shut the door as she applied her makeup in front of the small mirror.
"Really?"
Ralph appeared by the door with his oversized pajama pants and white tank top hanging loosely on his body, and his short, dirty blonde hair thrown to all sides.
"Is that why the sink was smudged with all that brown powder you put on your face?"
"I rinsed it off," she said, leaning closer to the mirror to put on her eyeliner.
"That stuff needs to be scrubbed off."
"I thought you said this was my bathroom whenever I came over." She moved on to her mascara.
"I said this was the only bathroom you're allowed to use," he clarified. "Doesn't mean you can trash it."
"Sometimes I wish you weren't raised an only child." When she turned to face him, her eyes landed on the coffee cup in his hand, and she flashed her pearly whites. "But then you grind coffee beans, and I remember why you're the best friend a girl could have." He rolled his eyes as he handed her the to-go cup.
"I really should take off the lid and force you to slow down."
"You know I don't have time for that," she said, taking a careful sip, trying not to burn her tongue. It happened more often than she cared to admit.
"Got another wedding?"
he asked, leaning against the doorway. "Yep, and I feel pretty good about this one," she said, taking another sip.
"Why is that?"
"Because who gets married on a Thursday?" Her face twisted in disgust. "Probably someone who has something to hide. That being said, I think they deserve what's coming."
"How could you be so insensitive?"
He shook his head as if it was hard to recognize her sometimes. "I'm not insensitive," she protested, looking back at her reflection in the mirror. "I just need to get in the right frame of mind if I'm going to go through with it.
and thinking that they don't deserve it only makes my job more difficult. You don't need to be doing this. You're juggling too many things. You're gonna burn out. Easy for you to say, she said, shoving her makeup back into the bag with her free hand. Installing alarm systems for millionaires pays well. Working part-time at a handbag store? Not so much. It wouldn't be so bad if you actually stopped buying the handbags. When a screeching sound came from the cat attacking Ralph's dog somewhere in the apartment, Ralph glared at Faye. You let the cat from hell into my apartment? She just hasn't eaten yet, Faye said, leaving her makeup bag on the sink and pulling out her phone. Can you feed her for me? My ride is here. Faye. You're the best. Faye wrapped him into a quick hug, then headed out the door. See you later for the game. I'm not watching football. Sure, sure. Over there, Faye yelled, startling the driver. He stomped on the brakes a tad harder than he'd intended, and by the huff in his throat, she could tell he blamed her for it. That parking spot says reserved, the driver pointed out. Yes, reserved for me, she lied, looking at her watch for the thousandth time. The car didn't even come to a full stop before one of her legs was already hanging out the open door. Here you go. She threw a few extra dollar bills on his lap while swinging her purse over her shoulder. Don't leave. I'll be right back. He let out a frustrated sigh, and she wondered why he was so annoyed. He hadn't even seen the coffee spill on his back seat yet. Maybe she should have let him leave, but there was no way she would make it to her third job in time if she had to wait for another driver to come. I'll give you an extra tip. I promise. With no more time to waste, she jumped out of the car and ran as fast as her high heels would allow. As she reached the double doors of the church, she stopped, smoothed out her dress, took a deep breath, and reached for the handle. The door was heavy, but thankfully not so old that it was squeaky. She was able to sneak inside and take a seat in the back without drawing too much attention. Not that it would matter in a few minutes, but still. A moment to collect her thoughts without the glare of daggers from strangers was always helpful. The couple was still lingering on their vows, and she wiped the sweat off her forehead with the back of her hand. It felt like summer still wasn't over. Okay, focus, Faye. She dug into the abyss of her purse and shuffled through the many lipstick-stained tissues before finally finding the envelope she was looking for. It helped that she'd already ripped it open at home, but it was still loud enough when she pulled it out that it turned some heads in her direction. She scanned through the letter as quickly as she could. It hadn't been the first time she read it, but the feelings were just as important as the words. And thanks to drama class, she was a good enough actress for this. Speak now or forever hold your peace, the priest announced, catching Faye by surprise. This is it. I object, Faye called out, stumbling to her feet. Me, over here. Yep, hi. When the bride and groom turned toward Faye, the shocked expression on their faces was way too familiar to faze her. She'd been doing this for 3 years now. Gary, I have a message for you, Faye started, glancing briefly at the open letter in her hand. I can't let you go through with this without first letting you know how I feel. Gary, what is this? The bride asked, stepping away from the groom.
I have no idea, he said, just as confused.
The ski trip, Faye continued. When I sprained my ankle and you carried me to my room? The expression on the groom's face suddenly changed, and his gaze shifted to someone in the audience. It was always a relief to Faye when they understood sooner rather than later that, although she was speaking, it wasn't her words. That night in front of the fireplace is all I've dreamed of ever since, and I know I'm a coward for not telling you this before today. Faye paused, forcing herself to ignore the irony of that statement. That woman was still a coward, otherwise she wouldn't be paying someone to do this. But then again, Faye wasn't getting paid to judge.
What do you want? The groom asked, with tears filling his eyes. But he wasn't looking at Faye. He was staring at a woman sitting among the guests. Still, it was Faye who responded. After all, that was her job. "I just need you to know that I love you, and that I have always loved you, and I just couldn't let one more day go by without telling you that, especially a day like today." "Gary?" The bride looked stunned, and that was always the hardest part for Faye. The silence as the groom contemplated what to do next was deafening. "Well," Faye folded the letter and shoved it back into her purse, ignoring the hundreds of astonished faces looking back at her. "I guess my job is done here." When the bride turned to Faye, she gulped, knowing exactly what was going to happen next. Faye ran out of the church with a bridezilla and 7 bridesmaids on her tail. Good thing they were all wearing heels. "Start the car!" Faye yelled at the driver, who was standing outside his vehicle talking to a security guard. Thank goodness it wasn't a cop. Either way, now he knew that parking spot wasn't reserved for her after all. After yanking the handle and jumping inside, she locked the doors. "Go, go, go!" The driver fumbled with his keys as the angry women slapped his car. Once he finally pushed the key into the ignition, one of the bridesmaids took off one of her heels and threw it at the side window. Faye yelped and ducked her head. "Hurry!" The driver roared the engine and sped out of there like the Fast and the Furious. Once the murderous bridal party shrunk in the distance, Faye let out a sigh of relief.
"What the heck did you do?"
he asked, stunned. "Being the bearer of bad news is kind of a side job," she said, catching her breath. He shook his head in disbelief.
"That was crazy."
"Actually, they weren't that bad. Last week, this girl from Texas had a shotgun under her dress." He looked at her through the rearview mirror like she was insane, but then shook his head as if not wanting to bother.
"Where to from here?"
he asked. "Freedom Tower, please."
"You work in the new trade center?"
He sounded surprised. "Yep," she mumbled without much enthusiasm. "I get paid to ride on the elevator for 3 hours. When he looked at her through the mirror again, she shook her head. "Don't ask." Chapter 2. The smell of burgers grilling from the patio made Faye's stomach growl. She could have bought them ready to eat, and heaven knew she wanted to, so she didn't have to wait a second longer. But if Ralph was to sit through 3 hours of football, he needed to spend at least one of those hours preoccupied with something else other than the actual game. So it was either grilling or cutting wood in the guest bedroom. Ralph had to be the only guy she'd ever met who did not like sports. And no one could even blame his parents because even they liked sports. They went to a baseball game on their honeymoon, for goodness sake. But Ralph? Nothing. No interest whatsoever. Never did. And after 28 years, he still hadn't changed. Back in high school, everybody knew Ralph would have made a perfect running back. He was quick on his feet and more agile than most of the players who actually made the team. In fact, he would always get touchdowns during PE, which would drive the coach nuts. He couldn't wrap his mind around the fact that Ralph kept refusing to be part of the team, and neither could his friends. But there was absolutely nothing wrong with him. He just preferred building things. In middle school, woodshop was his favorite subject. Then in high school, he signed up for that elective where they build sets for the drama class. It wasn't the most earth-shattering of hobbies, but he enjoyed it. Hence the makeshift shop in the guest bedroom. It came in handy through the years, considering he built all of his furniture from scratch. From his bedroom set to the living room couch, everything was handmade. He'd come a long way since high school. When he had still lived with his parents, his bedroom had looked like a cabin. Everything was shaped like a log, but was stained and shiny. It took years for Faye to convince him to put his work up on eBay, and to his surprise, everything sold in 1 week. It had character, or at least that's how the buyers would describe it. Of course, that did wonders to boost Ralph's confidence. His skills had improved even more over the years. His current furniture looked so professional, even Faye was impressed. He would have been glad to make stuff for Faye's apartment, too, but she had a very particular taste. Or, as Ralph would say, expensive taste. But he still made her stuff, like her keychain and key holder, which hung by her door. Lately, he'd been working on something new, but every time she came over, he would close the door to the guest room. She'd asked him about it, but all he said was that it wasn't any of her business. That made her smile, because he only ever said that when he had a surprise for her, and that was his way of telling her that he didn't want her snooping around. "What's taking so long?" Faye grumbled from the couch. "I'm hungry, and so is Uhtred." On hearing his name, the bulldog jumped up on the sofa and cuddled up next to Faye. "Geez, patience," Ralph teased, carrying a plate of grilled patties into the kitchen. "And that's not his name." "You're right." Faye grabbed the dog's face and jiggled it around. "It's Uhtred Ragnarsson of Bagland. Isn't that right, you sexy beast?" He licked her cheek, then snuggled into her arms. "It says so on his certificate." "You filled out the papers while I was in the restroom," he said, handing her burger on a paper plate. "What name would you have given him?" she asked before biting into the delicious stack of goodness. "Bull-dog?" Faye laughed so hard she almost choked on the food. She looked at Uhtred as his head rested on her lap. "Wow, aren't you glad I was there to save you from that horrific name?" Ralph laughed. "Yeah, because a mile-long name is exactly what he wanted instead." "Hey, Bagland wouldn't even exist if it weren't for you," Faye replied in a playfully accusing tone. "Isn't that what you call my apartment?" "Oh, hey, no way!" Faye jumped up from the sofa and yelled at the TV. "Are you kidding me? That was a technical!" If she weren't so hungry, that burger would have been thrown at the TV. "That is bonkers!" She took another bite of the burger and realized it was stuffed with his secret mixture. "Oh my word, you stuffed the patty?" Ralph flashed her a proud smile. "It wouldn't be a signature burger without it." "I thought your signature burger was only for special occasions," she asked, eyeing him as she sat back down. When he didn't respond and took another bite of his burger, she knew something was up. They'd known each other since they were kids playing in the sandbox. She could read him like a book. Ralph kept his eyes on the TV. "What is that guy doing?" Faye shifted her attention back to the screen. The team was at a timeout, and the camera zoomed in at a couple on the stands. A man kneeled down in front of a woman, and she gasped. "He's on one knee, Ralph. What else could he be doing?" Faye replied. "Of course, he's proposing." "Just because a man gets on one knee doesn't mean he's automatically proposing." Faye rolled her eyes playfully. "And you wonder why you're still single." "Anyway, how are your sisters?" he asked, taking another bite of his burger. Maybe he was planning on finally telling her what he was hiding under the white sheet inside the wood shop. "Michelle called me today," Faye said before taking another bite of her burger. "Little Ari is starting another set of treatment, but she's doing good. Her spirit is always remarkable for a 6-year-old. Faye was raised in a foster home with 4 other girls. They became so close they considered one another sisters, and that had been the case ever since the first year they met. Victorine was the oldest, now at 29. Anne Marie was next at 28, then Faye also at 28, and Michelle at 24. Judy was the baby at 19. "Oh, and Judy eloped with Jared," Faye added with her mouth full. "You're kidding." "I didn't believe it either," she confessed, "until I saw them on this new TV show called The Honeymoon Game, or something like that." Ralph shook his head in disbelief. "Never a dull moment with you girls," he chuckled. "You need your own books." "If Victorine was writing it, we would all end up dead." Faye laughed, and so did Ralph. I'm guessing she's still writing thrillers? He knew her sister's dynamic just as much as she did.
Yep, at least that's one thing that never changes, she said. How's your family?
Don't pretend you didn't get a message from my dad this week, Ralph said, rolling his eyes. Is he still trying to make this yearly Super Bowl a thing?
We've been watching the Super Bowl with your parents since we were 15.
Faye picked up a piece of bread and threw it at him.
It's been a thing.
Wow, has it really been that long? Ralph sounded surprised as he took a swig of apple cider. So, you were with Beardface for almost 6 months?
5 and a half, she confirmed.
What happened?
He was so overbearing.
She spoke as if she was suffocating.
He kept asking to leave stuff in my apartment, and I'm like, no, take your toothbrush with you.
So he wanted to take it to the next level. Isn't that what a relationship is?
A serious relationship, yes, Faye agreed. But I'm just having fun. I'm not ready to settle with some control freak who thinks I'm with you every time I tell him I'm with my sisters. Besides, I'm in my prime. I can't let it go to waste.
I thought your prime was 25.
Says who?
You, 3 years ago?
Well, what can I say? She swung a lock of hair over her face and posed like a model. I've been aging gracefully. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going for another burger. Faye stood and made her way to the kitchen. Want another apple cider? She asked.
Sure, Ralph replied. Get the one from the freezer.
She found the bottle and popped it open, using the countertop.
Nice.
A slim guy with black hair poked his head in through the open kitchen door.
Never seen a girl do that before.
He smiled and stepped inside.
I'm Jeremy, and sorry the door was open.
Yeah, my cat likes to come and go when I'm here, she explained, stretching out her hand to greet him. I'm Faye.
Oh, so you're Faye.
Jeremy's smile grew bigger as he took her hand, but she had no idea why.
Your boyfriend speaks very highly of you.
My boyfriend? Faye could hear Ralph practically falling off his chair in the living room and stumbling over to the kitchen. Jeremy turned to Ralph as he rushed in.
There he is.
Ralph, my boyfriend? Faye laughed. It's gonna take a lot more hard ciders to... Ralph shoved the apple cider bottle into her mouth.
Here you go, honey.
Honey? He grabbed her by the back of the neck and steered her out of the kitchen.
Grab a beer. We'll be right back.
He dragged her into his bedroom and closed the door behind him. She swallowed the cider and coughed. Honey? Please keep your voice down. Honey? She lowered her tone. Ralph, what's going on?
I might have, he rubbed his eyes, told my boss you're my girlfriend.
What? She squealed. Keep your voice down. Faye leaned toward him and lowered her voice. What were you thinking?
It's a long story.
And I got all night. She crossed her arms in front of her chest, unyielding. Spill.
Fine.
Ralph let out a sigh.
His sister keeps coming on to me, and she hasn't been taking no for an answer, so I just told her I had a girlfriend.
Okay, but why me?
Because she didn't believe me and started asking all these questions, and I thought it would be easier to lie if I described someone I really knew.
Is she that ugly?
She's my boss's sister.
So?
So he's finally considering making me partner, and I don't want to screw it up.
Partner? Ralph, that's amazing. Why didn't you tell me?
Because it's not a done deal. He said he was gonna think about it.
When Faye didn't respond, Ralph let out another sigh.
I know this whole thing is a mess, all right? And I'm sorry to dump it on you like this, but I was planning on telling you tonight. I was just waiting for the right time.
She gave him an eye roll. Now I see why you stuffed the patties.
Not only that, he said, not trying to disguise his attempt at bribery. I made you a hanger for all your purses.
It's in the guest room. She pressed her lips, suppressing the excitement that came with finding out what was under the white sheet. And a purse holder, nonetheless. This is still not okay, Ralph.
Faye, he begged. I've never asked you for anything. Ever.
I know, but... Faye shook her head, unsure. This could get really messy.
It won't, I promise.
Ralph pressed his hands together.
We'll just walk out there, pretend for a few minutes, then later in the week I'll tell him we broke up.
And that's it?
That's it. Yo,
Jeremy yelled from the living room.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, Ralph forced a laugh.
Faye just, got apple cider on her shirt.
Before Faye could stop him, he threw the drink on her blouse. Are you kidding me? She hissed, glaring up at him. He gave her a what-else-was-I-supposed-to-do look, then tossed her a hand towel from the bathroom. She yanked it from midair and pushed him out the door.
There you are.
Jeremy stood from the sofa with a wide smile.
Man, I've been dying to tell you.
What's up? Ralph asked, putting an awkward arm around Faye's shoulder as she dried herself off.
I finally popped the question, man.
Jeremy was so excited, he looked like he could do cartwheels.
I proposed to Lexa last night, and she said yes.
No way. Ralph pulled him into a bro hug. Congratulations.
Here's the thing, though, Jeremy went on. She wants to get married in 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Faye echoed in surprise. Is she pregnant? Ralph gave her a look which reminded her to think before she spoke. Sorry.
That's all right,
Jeremy laughed.
That was my thought, too. But no, she's not. She's been waiting for me to ask. We've been together now for like...
He looked at Ralph as if needing help with the answer.
16 months or so?
Ralph nodded.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so... Jeremy's smile grew wider.
I came over tonight to ask if you would be my best man.
Ralph's eyes stretched wide. Me?
Yeah, man.
Jeremy chuckled.
You're like a brother to me. You know that.
Faye finally understood the whole sister thing. That would definitely be weird.
Oh, the invitation is for you both,
Jeremy added.
Faye is welcome to be your plus one.
Aw, that's so sweet, Faye said, taking a step back. But I don't think I'll be able to make it. I have that thing. She looked at Ralph, but he didn't look one bit willing to help.
What thing?
He asked, playing dumb. She clenched her jaw. That thing.
Oh, that thing.
Ralph turned to Jeremy with a forced smile.
I'm sure she can reschedule. Count us in.
Great. Jeremy looked at Faye and she forced a smile back.
See you in 2 weeks.
Awesome. She sang the words like she was about to kill somebody, but only Ralph knew what that sounded like. And he knew very well he was the target. Ralph walked Jeremy to the door and she waited until he came back to splash the rest of the apple cider on his face. He cleared his throat, then licked the liquid as it slid down to his mouth.
I deserved that.
You deserve for me to break this bottle on your head, she hissed, throwing the empty bottle on the sofa. Maybe that will get you thinking straight.
I'm sorry, he pleaded, but I can't go to this wedding by myself.
Why not?
His sister is gonna be there, he said, and I can't be left alone with her. Faye, please, I am begging you.
What makes you think we can pull this off?
Look how great we did just now.
He flashed her an unconcerned smile.
Piece of cake.
Relationships are different at weddings, Ralph, she warned. You can't just spill another drink on me and call it a day.
Don't you think I know that?
I don't know what you know anymore, she confessed. The Ralph I know would never lie like this. Ralph grabbed her petite shoulders and looked her in the eyes.
That's exactly why I need you to trust me. I wouldn't ask for this if it wasn't important, and you know it.
He was right. and she could tell there was a lot more he wasn't letting on about this whole situation. But
sample complete. Ready to continue?